Now, have you ever wanted something really badly and prayed to the Lord, asked the Lord to give it to you? Please, Lord, give this to me. Please, Lord, let this happen. Lord, if you do this, I'll never forget. Have you ever prayed something like that? Tom Brady did right before this most recent Super Bowl. And it was recorded. It was in a radio interview with Westwood One. And Tom said, I asked God this week one more, and I'll never ask for one more. That's the quote. Now, do you think Tom, next January, if he's competing for the next Super Bowl, will remember that and say, God, I already asked you for the last one. I won't ask again. Well, we don't know. We hope he'll remember that prayer. But in my experience, probably forget and move on. Too often, we pray, we ask God for this or for that. We promise God something. And then life goes on. Time passes. And sometimes we forget. We forget that we prayed. We forget that we asked God. Or perhaps we forget God entirely and go on with our lives and our own strength until we need something else and we pray again. In difficult seasons, we pray and seek after God. We depend on Him for all that we need in our weakness. But then when life calms down, we can too easily drift away from God, forgetting His presence, forgetting His power, forgetting our dependence. Forgetting is the theme before us today. And we're going to examine that theme starting with our passage from Judges chapter 6. I'm going to make good use also of Kleenex as it's allergy season right now, so please forgive me for that. Now, our passage from Judges chapter 6 has to do with Gideon. And Gideon is a much-discussed biblical character. The focus often when this passage is discussed is on Gideon. So I want to start with, what do you remember or recall about Gideon? What do you know about Gideon? Speak up. Okay, you recall the fleece. He tested God's call with a fleece. He put a fleece before the Lord and said, may the fleece be wet and the ground dry. And it was so. And then the next day he said, well, just to make sure, make the ground wet and the fleece dry. Right, you remember the fleece. What else? The story doesn't end well with Gideon. He falls away. What about Gideon's army? What did God do to Gideon's army? He shrank it down from a huge power to very few so that they would know it was God who won the victory. That's right. Today, I'm not going to focus on Gideon the man, but I'm going to focus on Gideon's role as leader. Specifically, why Gideon had to be raised up to lead in the first place. Now, what book of the Bible is Gideon's story recorded? Judges, that's right. Why were the judges needed? Because there was no king, but why did Israel need a judge? Settle disputes, that's partially right. To lead them. They needed a judge because they were in trouble, and they needed a leader to get them out of the trouble. They needed rescue from their trouble, from their slavery, and from their bondage. Now, hold on. I seem to recall Israel was rescued from slavery and bondage in the Exodus. And then they entered the Promised Land. Why are they in slavery and bondage and trouble again? It's because of their sin. They kept turning to other gods. They kept forgetting. They kept forgetting. They fell away. Gideon and the other judges were all necessary because Israel forgot their promises to God. They continued a pattern of forgetting and rejecting God, suffering the consequences for their sin, and then crying out for help, Lord, save us, only to do it again. Israel's promise began with Joshua 24. Joshua was the leader right before this period of history. Joshua warned them that it was going to be difficult to follow after the Lord, to remain faithful. But the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, then put away the foreign gods that are among you. Incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord, our God, we will serve. We will obey." And then at the beginning of Judges, Judges 1 and 2, we read, that generation died off, they forgot, and they got into trouble. "Please, God, rescue us from this trouble. We'll serve you again. We'll never forget." A judge was sent 40 years later. That generation died off, they forgot. "Please, God, rescue us." Another judge, Deborah. There was peace for 80 years, but then they forgot again. I define this process with four F's: faithfulness, forgetting, flailing about or floundering, and then falling to your knees, falling to their knees. This was the process. And Gideon was raised up by God because Israel had again forgotten God and his commands. They had disobeyed him. So God gave them into the hands of the Midianites, their enemies. And after a few years, the Israelites were floundering and flailing, and they cried out to God for deliverance. They fell on their knees. And Gideon was chosen by God to be the judge to deliver them. So what's the opposite of forget? Remember. And that's the message this morning. Remember, don't forget. Now, how does one remember? If you have children or grandchildren, they're studying trying to remember. Remembering is tied to rehearsing what it is you want to remember. It's tied to marking it and practicing it so that you can remember. And it's also tied to teaching. If you've ever taught something to someone else, you'll know you learn it at a much deeper level when you have to teach it and talk about it. A large part of the New Testament letters were focused on reminding the church to remember the gospel so that they would remember and not fall away, so that they would remember and not lose heart, so that they would remember the gospel and not be deceived by false teaching. And we heard part of that in our reading, Paul's letter, first letter to the church in Corinth from chapter 15, where Paul wrote this: "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received." He wants them to remember. "In which you stand and by which you are being saved, unless you believed in vain." Now in the Greek here, the verb sozo, which means saved, has a futuristic nuance. It's not just the present, but it also points toward the future. So it has the meaning here that you are saved by faith in Jesus and you are being saved, continuing to be saved until the end, either when you die and meet Jesus or you meet Jesus, but the end is always with Jesus. You must continue to remember the truth of the gospel, Paul writes, or you will forget, be led astray. And the ongoing process of your being saved, changed and transformed by the Holy Spirit, will cease, and it will be as if you believed in vain. You must remember. Salvation, pictured here by Paul, is not simply a one-time event. And then you're, boom, free to roam about the country and do whatever you want. Salvation begins when you believe in Jesus and receive his gift of forgiveness and new life. And salvation here, as pictured by Paul, continues as the Lord works in you. As you remember, as he, by his Holy Spirit, day by day, changes you and transforms you into his man or woman, a process that's only complete when you meet Jesus face to face. Last week in my sermon, and in quite a few sermons before that, I reminded you all that if you believe in Jesus, if you are sozo, if you are saved and being saved, then you're not only saved, but you share in God's mission to the world. You share his purpose. All who believe in Jesus share Jesus' purpose and mission to go into the world, to proclaim the gospel, to witness to his good news, and to baptize new believers. We are to go into the world so that others will know. And in line with today's message, so others who may have forgotten might remember. If we don't witness, how will they be reminded and remember? Now, what was the process we discussed earlier? The judges were sent to remedy. It was four F's. Faithfulness, forgetting, flailing, and then falling to your knees. The Israelites did it over and over again. Well, what's one definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. We have Israel's history recorded for us in Scripture. They repeatedly saw the powerful work and deliverance of God, and then sometime in the future, near or far, they forgot, only to repeat the cycle over and over again. Peter, from our gospel reading, he's a great example of breaking that cycle. In Luke chapter 5, Peter is not interested in Jesus. Peter has just had an unfruitful night, all night fishing and catching nothing. I'm not a fisherman, but I can imagine fishing for a long period of time and catching nothing, and that seems frustrating. For a professional fisherman, I bet it's even more frustrating. He was washing his nets and I'm sure was not happy about this crowd that had gathered. Oh, wait, there's Jesus, this traveling teacher who I've heard about. I don't want to have anything to do with him. I just want to go home. I believe that's Peter's. That's how he greets the situation. That's his posture. But then Jesus climbs into his boat. Then Jesus teaches. Then Jesus says, hey, why don't you put out for a catch? After his encounter with Jesus, Peter leaves his nets for good, and he follows Jesus. In John chapter 6, Jesus' teaching had become hard, and when others turned away because his teachings were difficult, this is what happened. After this, many of his disciples turned back, no longer walking with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter proclaimed his allegiance when others were turning away. He didn't turn back. Now, was Peter perfect in his following of Jesus? No. During Jesus' trial, famously before Jesus' death, Peter disowns his Lord and Master. Peter falls away. But then Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Jesus comes to Peter, reinstates him, and Peter never repeated the cycle. He never fell away again. Peter broke the cycle. He remained faithful through persecution, beatings, imprisonment, until he was killed for his participation in Jesus' mission. And he didn't break the cycle alone. He needed the others around him. He didn't do it by himself. He did it in community. I want you to think for a moment about your own life. If you are here this morning and you believe in Jesus, can you recognize in your own life or your own faith this pattern from Judges? Faithfulness, flailing, faithfulness forgetting, flailing and floundering and then falling on your knees? I know I can. Do you want to continue that cycle or do you want to break the cycle? Your spiritual enemy wants you to stay in that cycle. He wants you to not grow, to not mature, to continue spinning your faith wheels, never moving forward, never gaining traction. To break that cycle, you must remember and you must not forget. Breaking the cycle begins with you. In your faith walk with the Lord, being able to break that cycle means that you're going to remember. So as you think about your walk with Jesus, your faith walk, is it a high relationship, a hay relationship, or a hunger relationship? A high relationship is what you see on the sidewalk every day. Hey, how you doing? Fine, how are you? Don't even wait for the response. Hey, God, good to see you. On with your day. Do you have a high relationship? Or do you have an hey? Hey, God, I need something. Could you do that for me? No, I really don't have time. I'm kind of busy. Oh, hey, God, I just heard about this. Could you take care of that? Oh, hey, God. Or is it a hunger? A relationship focused on remembering what God has done for you, remembering that you're dependent on Him, remembering that it's His power in you that enables you to live your new life. A hunger that means you're going to schedule time to eat. What's the opposite of forget? Remember. That's how you will break that cycle. Where in your day, even those of you that have a hunger, where could you carve out a little more time to schedule a coffee with God? The opposite of a hi or a hey is, Lance, I want to schedule coffee with you. Whoa, that takes planning. I've just said, I'm going to sit. Let's share. Let's talk. If you don't have that much time, where can you break into your schedule and clear out space to have that hunger relationship with God? So breaking the cycle involves and starts with you, but it also involves your church. Peter didn't break the cycle alone. The purpose of the church ultimately is to proclaim the good news of Jesus so that his people and others don't forget. We carry the torch for Jesus Christ. To teach, to remind, so that those who are seeking might find Jesus and be found. And so that God's people will remember, and so that the next generation will remember and not forget. We are not far from a point in history where the majority of our country will know nothing about Jesus. It's not far away. If you are a member here, then your tithes and offerings support this mission, teaching and reminding all of salvation in Jesus' name, so that seekers will learn and God's people will remember. And I want to remind you here that as followers of Jesus, you share in his mission. So you should also share in the ministry here at Redeemer as we help God's people remember and not forget. So if you have a piece of paper in front of you, it might be a service sheet, might be your journal, might be whatever you're taking notes on. If you're actively participating with Jesus' mission here at Redeemer, I want you to write down where it is that you're serving or make a mental note. Write down the ministries in which you serve and participate, because I want you to remember that you don't do that in your own strength. You do that fueled by God, led by God, empowered by God. It's not up to you alone, but you can only do it in his strength and through his empowerment. Now, if you're here this morning, you're a member of Redeemer, and you're not able to write down a ministry at Redeemer where you're participating or serving, I want you to write a big question mark. And I want you to reflect on that question mark. Ask God to show you where he wants to serve. Schedule a coffee with him. Ask him where he might be leading you to get involved, where he might be leading you to know and be known, to serve, to be his light. If you are a follower of Jesus, then you share his mission, and you will do one of two things as you follow Jesus. You will either remember or you will forget. My prayer for Church of the Redeemer is that we will be a church of disciples being transformed as we follow Jesus, who are getting to know each other and they're being known by one another, holding each other accountable and walking in relationship, and who are breaking the cycle of forgetting. We know our dependence is on the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, and we stay close to him. May we be known as a church who are breaking the cycle of forgetting. May we together remember, rehearse, and teach. May we together remember, 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 so that we do not easily forget. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I now invite you to stand. And let's declare our faith together through the historic words of the Apostles' Creed.